Well, good morning once again. It is a pleasure to be here. And I want to suggest to you that sometimes I think we have this idea that one person doesn't make a difference. But I want to suggest to you that, yes, one person does make a difference. Every one of your prayers makes a difference to those whom you pray for. And I'm a part of that experience. I've been on both sides of a prayer, praying for others as well as receiving prayers. And I want to suggest to you that, yes, your prayers do work. And thank you for that. Today we have a combination of parables that Jesus teaches us. And they're not very long. And while some of us would like to try to make them into allegory that says, in the sense of this represents this and this represents that, Jesus teaches these in a way that sometimes we don't fully understand, and we want to say, what, Jesus? What are you telling us? But there are some things here that we can deduct from what Jesus is speaking to his disciples. The first two parables that he speaks of are two very familiar ones that we've heard. It's the one about the mustard seed and about the leaven in the flour. Now, this isn't about us. It's about God. And what Jesus is saying to us is that the kingdom of God comes into our life in such mundane ways, in such everyday occurrences, in such a way that seems like it's non-existent or that it's has a very small presence. But the thing is that as we begin to experience that kingdom of God, we see that it grows. And it grows into proportion, a greater proportion than what we ever could imagine. It's kind of like, we get impatient, we wait for things to happen, and we want it to happen now, but, many times we are told over and over again that we must be patient in our prayers. We are reminded about the disciples as after the resurrection and being told to go back and to pray for the Spirit, and they waited for 10 days. It was a long time. After all, they had thought things were going to be very different. They thought, something was going to happen in a way that was going to play into their plans. But then when Jesus up and did what he did and that he died on the cross, it just got them all goofed up. They didn't have a clue which end was up. And then he shows up for 40 days. And then the next thing he's saying, well, I got to leave now because something else is going to come that's going to be much greater than me. And he speaks about the Holy Spirit. We get impatient. I have to admit, as I told council and the staff when I knew this was going to be done, that, my plan was that I'd be back as soon as the surgery was done. We always have plans that are pretty eager, We think we're going to just bounce right back and we're going to do these things. And what I forget is that, I'm not like I was 20 years ago. I'm not as resilient as I used to be. I like to think I'm still the same, that I'm, pretty strong. I'm able to heal up fast and do all those kinds of things. It doesn't happen. We learn that we have to be patient and we have to pray and we have to, work through our own issues and saying, these are things that I want. And when God is saying, well, that's not necessarily what I want for you. Things take time. So when Jesus pulls out or talks about this mustard seed, and in reality, even though it says in Scripture it's the smallest of all seeds, it really isn't the smallest of all seeds. But that's not the point. Nor is the point that the mustard plant is not a tree, it's a shrub, and it's not a perennial, it's just an annual. It's not this great big tree that, you would think that would be majestic and, obviously could hold many birds in its branches. And the reality is that a mustard plant really doesn't hold nesting birds. But his point is that the kingdom of God is already present in your life. Look around you. Look around you and experience it. And you might say, well, where? Tell me, Pastor Dave, where can I see it? You can see it in each other. You can see it in the way in which things happen in this world. Things that, you know, just in our everyday life of going to work and, you know, getting up and doing the things that we do. And, well, that's not really special. Did God say anything was going to be special? But what God can do is take those mundane things in life and make them extremely important into the way that we begin to experience how the Spirit moves among us. Even the ordinary things that we think are okay or something that we just do with other people. Some of you are huggers in this congregation. Every congregation has huggers. You know, and I tend to be a hugger, but I also don't impose myself on others. I just, if somebody wants to hug, I'll reciprocate, but if I don't initiate it normally. Or, you know, some of us have that understanding of compassion that we can reach out and we just tap somebody on the shoulder or we just give them an assurance or a word that is spoken. While to us it may not mean a whole lot or that, you know, what we're thinking we're not doing a whole lot to change, to the person that's receiving it, it can mean the whole world. I don't know if my neighbors knew how much of their impact of their lives and talking to me about the life of Jesus would have on me. You know, sure, I grew up as the son of a pastor, and my dad certainly had a huge impact, my mom as well. But there were a lot of other people that were part of that plan of God's that touched me in a certain way. People who just did any ordinary thing, but, you know, took this somewhat confused kid and began to plant seeds that began to grow an understanding that I'm going to be someone who is to be about the kingdom of God. Perhaps maybe you don't realize the impact that you've had on those that have been in this congregation over its lifetime. But even the things that you have done, and I'm going to use Alex as an example. You know, just think about it for a moment here. Now, already there are those of you who have been touched by Alex's life because of things that he said or that he's done. But you've also, in the same way, have nurtured and cared for him, and through your generosity and your desire for him to pursue this call that we believe God is giving him, you have created something extremely great. Now that may not seem like a whole lot to you, but give it a second here. Think about any pastor. Think about how that pastor reaches out to individuals. And if I take my life as an example, not that, you know, I feel that I should stand up above anybody else, but in a typical pastor's role, usually there is some things that go on before they even begin seminary, and that is that, you know, in college, I worked with a Methodist church for 2 full years, and the pastor there had a huge impact on the way in which my pastoral style would become. A Methodist! And then when I got into seminary, I worked at the United Church of Christ, and again, there was an impact there that they had on me, and I have no clue how much an impact I have on them, because, you know, when you're in those short-term relationships, sometimes things happen, but you don't hear about it necessarily. And from there, I worked at another 2 Lutheran churches while I was at seminary. Then I did my internship, and I came back, and I worked in another Lutheran church after that. All that before I even was ordained. And then if I go down through each of the congregations in which I've served, how is it that God has used me to touch others? I have no idea. Oh, there are some ideas I have. I remember walking into a parishioner's house, and they're great people, and I was just standing there, and I was in their kitchen. I was standing leaning up against the refrigerator, and I just happened to look over on the refrigerator door, and there was an article with my picture on it, and it was one of those devotionals, you know, weekly devotionals you would do for the local paper. And I said, oh, I see you got me posted here. And I said, was there something about that article? Oh, yeah, it made a huge difference for us. Really? And then they began to tell me everything that what you know, how they connected to the story in which I had shared with them. And before I knew it, I again was drawn to the amazing understanding of how God works through the words in which you place, whether it's spoken or written. And you don't often think about how that's going to touch other people. You see, these things are things that Alex will experience as well. And he may touch a few hundred people, he may touch thousands. It may seem like a mundane thing to you, something that's not really out of the ordinary. We send pastors off all the time, people to seminary. But that one bit of hope, that one bit of care that you've extended, that those prayers in which you've lifted up make all the difference. It doesn't have to be extraordinary and for the kingdom of God to be in our hearts. And that's the same concept with the leaven and the flour. Three measures equals about 50 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour that could produce bread for enough for 100 people. But that little bit of leaven is what makes the difference. I could use, I mean, my parable would be, you know, the yeast for a wine, right? You know, and that little bit of yeast and what it can do to ordinary grapes makes an amazing mixture. I don't know how people figured it out. So for those of you, what the point of these parables are, for those of you who struggle with everyday things that go on in life, whether it's, you know, it's dealing with sickness or being patient through illness or being patient through struggles with finances, being going through grief and the loss of a loved one. God is there. God is present. The other two parables I want to just mention briefly are the one in which we find that someone who's out, not even working in his field, he's a laborer or she's a laborer, working in a field, and they discover somebody had left a treasure, which was not uncommon in those days because there wasn't any safe place to put riches or your wealthy items. And so they would oftentimes bury it in the backyard, bury it in a place where they hoped nobody would find it. Now, Jesus doesn't give us any indication, we don't get any idea of the fact that this person isn't honorable, doesn't go try to look for the person who may have placed that there. What they do is they go and they take everything they have and they sell it in order to buy that piece of land so that treasure is theirs. And the same thing with the merchant. This time, he is looking for something. He's looking for a fine pearl that is the best of all. And what he does, he ends up giving up his entire life for the purchase of this one pearl. He no longer becomes a merchant or a seller or a buyer because he gives his whole business away in order to have this one pearl in possession. And what we're hearing this is that when we begin to have our eyes open to the gifts of what God gives to us, the motivation, the whole center of our life changes from wanting things. Look at Solomon in today's passage. Solomon, you know, we talk about his wisdom. We talk about what a wise king he was. You know, he was not a really nice person. There were some things that he did prior to becoming king, in order to become king, that would appall any of us. And yet the one thing that he asked for is pleasing to God, and that is for wisdom. Something changed within him. Something changes within all of us that the moment that we recognize this gift and the grace in which God gives to us, that turns our lives around. I think sometimes we find that maybe perhaps towards the end of our life as well, where suddenly all these possessions that we've gathered, everything that we have in life, we realize is meaningless because as we begin to see our finality in life, we realize that none of this stuff is important. I've seen this over and over in with parishioners and with residents at nursing homes where, you know, all this stuff is being given away. They don't want it. All that's important to them is the relationship with their loved ones and the relationship with God. So we have Jesus sharing with us ways in which the kingdom of God is at work in our life, through small things, also through wonderful things. And we know that even in our failings, even when we begin to want to let go of that lifeline, even when there are times that we get tired and weary and we don't even know what to pray, Paul tells us that the Spirit will speak for us. The Spirit will put the words that are necessary to give us the prayers to lift up to God. With sighs so deep, prayer is so central to our lives. It's something that you have most likely been taught from the time that you were young about saying prayers at bedtime and at meals. And maybe some of you have never really gotten away from that. I mean, that's important, but there's, you know, Paul tells us to pray constantly, that there's a centeredness that we can find in prayer that opens us up to understanding just how God's kingdom does work in our life. Helps us to release the things that we think are important and helps us to focus on that one great pearl, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so much hurt in this world. There's so much hurt even within this congregation. I want to extend to you this understanding that God's embrace is for you as well. That no one is so sinful that God does not surround with his arms to bring his comforting care to you. That in the midst of devastation and hurt, in the midst of uncertainty with the rest of what's going on in the world, the one assurance we have, and we can proclaim as Paul does with such, he's so convincing. This is a rather dramatic thing that he says, that, you know, he begins with this list of things that, you know, no principalities, you know, death nor life, nothing, no angels, no, you know, not even Satan can keep us from the love of Christ. Now, if there's anything that we leave with this day, knowing that when we walk out these doors, we know that we are bound by the love of God. And don't discount yourself as saying, I'm not worthy, because Christ died on the cross for you. You are. In your unworthiness, in my unworthiness, we are made worthy through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May you know his love, and may you know of how Jesus holds on to you, even in those moments that we feel like letting go. Amen.